Well, good evening and thank you for staying tuned to Good News Community Radio on 93.6 FM. This is the station that endeavors to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ 24/7. And the good news right now is that it is 1800 hours, which means that it is time for your program, Heartlines. Now, this evening for Heartlines, we are joined by Associate Pastor at Grace Family Church, Cornubia, and a Heartlines champion here in KwaZulu-Natal, Garth Gaylord. He is going to be sharing on 8 key themes behind the Fathers Matter campaign, and we're also excited to be sharing some teasers of what's going to be coming up in the 6 Heartlines Fathers Matter films that will be airing on SABC2 from the 17th of September. In a moment, we will switch over to our conversation with Garth. But first up, we're going behind the scenes to have a look at the second film in production and the second film to be aired for the Heartlines Fathers Matter film series. This is the film titled In Time, and it poses the question, can a physically absent father still be present for his child? In Time is the story about Lerumo, a loving father who is willing to spare nothing in order to show up for his daughter. But he's a gold miner and he works on a mine far away from his wife, Amanda, and their daughter, Bukamuso. This is the story about Lerumo's journey of making sure that he is in time for a crucial moment in his daughter's life.
When I read it the first time, I was like, I want this one.
We are set. Ready and action.
Welcome to University Tryout.
The film essentially deals with the role of a father and sort of unpacking that. I think there's always a kind of like stereotypical sort of a perception that the role of the father, so long as he's providing financially for his children, then he doesn't really have to be there otherwise. But over here, we actually see a committed father who goes beyond the finances.
Lerumo is, he's a superhero, man. He's Spider-Man. He does not want his daughter to just end up just being an ordinary person. Nothing else matters, so he would do anything and everything to make sure that her dreams become a reality.
So Bukamuso is 18 from the villages of Limpopo, and she is crazy about athletics. Don't want to name her a typical daddy's girl. I think there's just so much about her. She never measured her father's absence as a lack of love. So she kind of always measured the fact that he wants to be there.
Mpule, honestly, she's got that brittleness that you know that one can imagine a girl from the rural areas coming to Johannesburg has, but also a fire and a determination that just sits right there, you know, in the eyes.
I am basically Bukamuso's rival, and I'm like the antagonist, the mini girl.
Felix is stranded on the side of the road, and lo and behold, Lerumo comes up and he helps him out. And sort of starts this dynamic of, first starts off with a little suspicion, and then as we get to know Lerumo and obviously Felix, you know, they kind of come together to work together to get him to his end goal.
Lerumo, played by Aubrey, he himself has a very personal connection to the material.
I'm a father to 4 boys, and my firstborn passed away years ago, and the irony of it is she would have been Bukamuso's age this year. My daughter has literally just been with me throughout the story. That's what this film has been about. It has been just triggered me a lot, and at the same time, it has kind of like provided a space for healing. And my kids are a big part of my life. I used to describe myself as I'm an actor, I'm an artist, but before then, right now, is I'm a father and an artist. So that role of being a father comes first before anything else, you know.
Well, I have both parents. I have a very great relationship with my mom as well. It was just something about my father understanding me from a very young age. There was just He was the first person to make me feel very intelligent, very present in my mind and in the world.
Tell your kid you love them, you know? Make them understand that you're there for them no matter what, and that emotion is not something to run away from.
I think that fathers, you know, definitely need to be there for their children emotionally and give them the support that they need.
Even though her dad is not with her all of the time, he has been there for her whenever he could. That little time that you are there with them can last a long time.
You know that if that person cares a lot about what you care about, which is kind of what happens in the story, she knows he cares a lot about what she cares about.
A father mentoring does not just mean them being a provider. It's not about the check. It's not about how much they can offer in support of the child. They need to also be there emotionally. Emotional support is very important. So fathers do matter.
That was a behind-the-scenes teaser to one of the Fathers Matter films that's going to be aired on SABC 2 throughout September and October, and it is produced by Heartlines. And up next, we are in conversation with Garth Gaylard, Associate Pastor at Grace Family Church Cornubia and Heartlines KZN Champion. Garth, thank you so much for your time.
Great to be with you, and hello to all the listeners this evening.
So, Garth, if you could just start us off by giving us some context in this conversation, what is your father's story?
My father's story, I had a present father in my childhood, and when I was part of the focus group of the Fathers Matter program that we are busy talking about, when I listened to people within the group I was in, I realized how privileged I was, and I realized what a great impact my dad had in my life. And when I saw how the people around me that I'm rubbing shoulders with every day have got gaps. And so I'm not saying at any stretch of the imagination that I had the perfect childhood or my father was the most perfect, but I realized just him being present in my life really set me up to win, and it's given me the confidence that I have today. Mm.
Garth, how do you think that your own father's story influenced the way that you approached fatherhood?
Yeah, well, it came through story sharing, and that's what I love about family dynamics. You know, I remember at a very young age asking questions about my dad when he was a teenager, and my mom was more than him ready to share. But what was clear quite early on is that he never wanted me to be exposed to the negativity that he was exposed to growing up. But you got to realize there was a myriad of issues that he had to deal with as a child. We can't neglect the legacy of our country, navigating Group Areas Act and then trying to protect me through my childhood through certain things we were faced. But I think he navigated the space well and made sure that he concentrated on the positive. And I must say, my dad was not always a Christ follower from his young age, but he did attend church. But the great thing was, through my childhood, my dad was a committed Christ follower. And so that also played another positive role in my childhood, because he used a lot of values that he gained from the church and his circle of friends at the time, which benefited me quite well.
So, Garth, why specifically did you get involved with Heartlines?
I just loved their values that they carry. And what intrigued me initially was the catchline that I heard them use was, "You know my name, but do you know my story?" Mm. And as I alluded earlier, I love stories. And so through that, it gave me the platform to start sharing my story and giving people permission to share their story with me. And in then getting to know people a lot better, you earn trust, you earn respect, and therefore you have a certain right to ask certain questions of people, the way they act, the struggles they're going through. It gives you that permission to just take the next step in caring for people. So for myself, I found out very late in life that I'm an empath by nature. I always thought my crying was a weakness, but yet I realized deep inside I have a feeling towards people. And so I've since embraced my softness in terms of shedding tears so easily. So it was the whole, do you know my story, that really intrigued me. And then once I was involved with that, I just love this new program that's come out called Fathers Matter. And I'm just sold out for it all the way, because I've got so many friends growing up. A friend of mine who's 53 today, the other day posted a post on social media, and he just said, oh, I wish I just could have connected with my father in my lifetime. And I realized there and then how much of his story I don't know, because he was a friend of mine that didn't have the so-called family connection of a mother, father, and 2.5 children, as they say. Yeah.
So, Garth, I was privileged earlier yesterday to actually see you and Craig in action presenting a presentation for some church leaders on Fathers Matter. And you specifically touched on 8 key themes of the Fathers Matter program. Would you be willing to go through each of those and to share how they play into the Fathers Matter campaign?
Yeah. Okay, that will be great. So we've got 8 key themes of the Fathers Matter program that we focus on. And number one is a father's responsibility is more than providing money. That might seem straightforward, but when you look at the complexity of our, just the places we find ourselves in our country and the neighborhoods we're in, that just has so many avenues it can go down. And I'll say that again for those that didn't catch it. A father's responsibility is more than just providing money. Something we said in our presentation you would have heard is that love equals time. Our most precious commodity is our time. And if we can spend more time with our children and really connect with them, we feel that that would just go a long way in just addressing a lot of the ills we find within our society. Number 2 was women should encourage fathers to play a positive role in their children's lives. This includes creating opportunities for their involvement. You know, in our society, there are, and when we look at the issue around Lebola, and I'm not going to go into that, and the issue around damages within certain cultural communities, we just see the negativity around that. And at the end of the day, the person that suffers the most is the child. So if there's Lebola that's outstanding and I can't afford to marry my wife, we see that that becomes a problem. And in other communities, it's about maintenance. If you can't pay the maintenance for the child that you have with me, I'm not giving you access to the child. And at the end of the day, it's the child that suffers from not having both parents present, and more importantly, in this context, not to outplay the role that moms play and women play, but the presence of the father. And so we just looked at issues there, and we want to start the conversation. And just to raise the flag, we're not here to say we have the answers. We're putting topics on the table to start the conversation, because the solutions and the answers are going to come when we start the conversation. Then there's number 3. A father's involvement can promote the well-being for children. You know, I remember my father's involvement in just matters in the house, whether it was calling us to dinner. If my mom called out and said it's time for supper while we were playing on the road, we waited till my mom really screamed the third time. But it's amazing when your dad calls, you listen just a little closer, because, you know, it's your dad that's calling. And I really don't know what it is, but when my father called, we made sure you're there. And I mean, my father wasn't one too quick to discipline me, but really it was the voice of authority. And it was around a lot of things, whether it was the schooling, whether it was my homework, whether it was how I was feeling. Just the father's involvement there can really promote the well-being for children. Number 4 was the one we looked at, where we said there are improved social, health, and educational outcomes when there is shared attachment, especially for the first 1,000 days of a child's life. And this is backed up by research. We say that a child's brain is like a sieve at that time. They just absorb everything around them. And it's so uncanny, to use that word uncanny, that I can remember things my dad did with me at a very young age. Like, I remember going to the market with my dad. To this day, my wife and I love visiting Verulam Fresh Fruit Market every morning on a Saturday. We're there righteously buying our fresh fruit. Mm. And I realized that was something that I picked up from my father, just unconsciously. That's what I do. And as you would know, my son, who's 27 years old, him and his wife love going to the market, mm. and they make the trip out to Verulam Market as well. And that's just amazing. And I think those are the things we mustn't discount, that when at an early age, it's amazing what the children glean and see and absorb and then start looking at as a norm within the family community. And then number five, something we looked at is what we said, both men and women can learn how to care for children. Skills in parenting build confidence. Now, you yay today, oh, I hate changing nappies. I will never change nappies. That's not something for me to do. Wow, that's a privileged statement. Mm. I remember changing some hectic nappies in my day. We have to learn that, you know. I'm not that old, but with my kids, I remember when my kids were younger, we had the nappy buckets. We didn't have, for my son, we didn't have these disposable. Oh, I should say we couldn't afford the disposable stuff. Let me just be honest there. So we had to wash those nappies, let alone just change them. We had to wash them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, it's not about whose role it is, but when there's shared skills within parenting, builds confidence for the children. And then also your children don't grow up with these, this is my role, or this is a male's role or female's role. No, it's my role as a parent. Mm. So if my wife is sick or if my wife can't be there, I can look after the children, whether it's loving them, whether it's feeding them, preparing their meals, or changing the nappies. And so just in terms of that, the skills in parenting build confidence.
In the presentation, you also referenced sort of an intimate moment that you had as a parent, having to deal with some female issues in your daughter. I would love for you just to share that story, because it really shows this truth that both men and women can learn to care for their children at any age. Because it's like you say, often we have this idea of there are some skills that only women can learn and some skills that only men can pass along to their children. When in fact, you know, as you mentioned, if your wife is sick, if she's not available, you know, you have to sometimes step up into that space. So could you share that story with the listeners?
Yes. I remember I was at my sister's place with my daughter. I honestly can't remember where my wife was, but she wasn't with me that day. And I remember my daughter just starting her menstrual cycle at that time. And I was prepared for it theoretically, but emotionally, I must say it was a challenge. But I stepped up to the plate because I realized, here's an important moment in my daughter's life. I can't have an away response to this. I need to embrace it. And so, together with my sister, we got into the car, we jetted down to the store, and my sister helped me pick out some products, and we came back, and she sat with me. I explained a bit to my daughter, and yeah, you know, I must say it wasn't the most comfortable thing, place for me to find myself, but I realized how important it was just in those shared skills in parenting, because my wife and I had spoken about it prior, and there it happened that, wow, I had to deal with it at the time. But there was that confidence that I had that I was able to deal with it purely because my wife and I had spoken about it, and we spoke about how we're going to care for our children, what we need to do when certain things come up. And yeah, I was prepared for the birds and bees conversation with my son, but yeah, I had to deal with my daughter's first menstrual cycle. And so I was prepared, like I say, with the skills, and thank God that I managed to navigate that space pretty well.
That, funny enough, leads us into the sixth key theme, because you mentioned that you and your wife had actually discussed this beforehand and that she sort of prepared you. And I know that next one, number six, is shared decision-making and good communication.
Yes, that is so, so important. You know, the good communication and shared decision-making, not this is your role and this is my role, but we both get involved in it and we both make the decision around that, whether it comes down to schools, whether it comes down to how we're going to decide to handle the situation when the kids are ready to choose a career. We sat down and actually planned for that and how we were going to do it. It doesn't always work out ideally, but if you have a plan, it helps in terms of how you're going to handle it when the situation arises. And so, shared decision making and good communication between parents, it just helps with the continuance of the legacy. Because at the end of the day, when I look at my son and his wife, I love how they make these decisions together. And he could have only gleaned it from us. Mm-hmm. And I gleaned it from my mom and dad. And so that's the legacy we want to pass down to our kids. And they must see that there's this shared responsibility and there's this shared decision making that's made. Because, you know, kids can be very quick to play parents against each other. Mm. When mom says no, they're quick to run to dad. Oh, dad. And they know who's the softy between the two. But when you ask the question, so what did your mom say? Oh, dad, why are you being so harsh? No, but what did your mom say? So I know we're on the same page. So that shared decision making is vitally important. Then number seven, we looked at social fathers can make a positive difference in the raising of children. Social fathers. What is a social father? Those are the positive male influences around us. And, you know, I shared the story of my dad didn't teach me fishing, and I don't hold that against him. But I remember there was a man in our community, we called him Uncle Tony. And Uncle Tony taught me fishing. Mm. And today my son loves fishing. And so there's those social fathers that can have good positive impacts for us. And in the church, I know there was the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the elders in the church, the pastors in the church that really made a difference. I remember Craig's dad, for example. I remember one day coming home late, and I was sleeping at Craig and them's house that weekend. And I remember Craig's dad saying to me, this is rubbish. You don't just come home this time and that time. And he really chastised me. And he said, now that I'm done with you, your father's also going to know. So I got it from Craig's dad. And then when I got home, I got it from my dad. You don't disrespect and but when I look at it, the community was raising me. Mm. And so social fathers also play a vital role in making a positive difference in raising a child. So men out there, play that positive role in that child's life where you see there's a single mom that needs help. Maybe the child needs to go to a sporting event and this mom has to work at a call center 7 days a week. Let us be that positive difference in saying, I'll help. I'll take your son to the soccer match. I'll help. I'll take your daughter here. And we need those safe places as social fathers for children to be supported.
What was so beautiful for me from your presentation, especially on this point of social fathers, you told the story of fatherhood not just lasting as long as your own biological children are in your home or in your case, even in your country. And you mentioned a little girl that you've also now sort of taken into your family. Yes. Could you tell that story?
So now that my daughter's studying overseas and, of course, my son is married and out the house, my wife and I are experiencing the emptiness stage of life where we have to navigate that. And we've got a young couple that we've walked alongside for a while, and they've got a young family, a son and a daughter. And I was at the son. We were invited to the son's party the other day, and I just had a keen. I'm watching in Kosazana playing there with the kids. I saw her stumble, you know, and have a little fall. And instinctively, I got up and I went to try and help her. And my wife said, no, it's okay. There's Carl, which is her dad. There's he running to his daughter. But just the instinct in me, because this is my family now, my extended family that I have here with me, and we're looking out for them. I was going to protect a little in Kosazana and pick her up and make sure she's okay. She didn't get hurt. And so She calls me Uncle Gott, but I say to the family, she's my adoptive granddaughter. You know, that's my adoptive granddaughter, and that's how I look at it, you know. It's not just about my biological family around me. Who is that family that needs the support? Like, for example, this is a young professional couple, and there's days I've told them, you need help, call me. I've sat at their house babysitting their children, looking after them. That's what I've offered for them. There's days they can't get to school to pick up their son. I'll get in my car, I'll go pick up their son and take him home. And he knows me. He loves it. Oh, Uncle God, you had to pick me up. And the teachers look at me weird. Are you sure this is your uncle? Yes, this is Uncle God. He's coming to pick me up. And you know, that's the social fathers we're looking for to make a difference in children's lives. Yeah, and the eighth and last one is supportive social networks. Such as the church can promote healing for people who have a father wound. You know, father wounds are really difficult. And in my day job, if I can put it that way, I sit with couples. I sit with young men. I sit with even men my age. And when we interrogate and we peel back the layers of their current situation, and we just find out that there's deep wounds that are there, and some of it just goes back to the fact that they feel so disenfranchised that they didn't have their father around, and some of them don't know who their father is, and they just feel an emptiness inside, even though they have the strong mother, strong grandmother. And we acknowledge the strong mother, the single mother, the grandmother, the matriarchs that are looking after and raising our children. It's so amazing how later on in life you find this disconnect, there's this father wound that just gnaws at people's hearts. And so that for me carries the weight of this whole Fathers Matter, is that we want to protect and make sure there aren't these festering wounds that occur later on in life, which sometimes have this detrimental and negative impact on their families, because there's this disconnect, there's this gap that they just can't fill. And ultimately, we know that Father God can fill that for us, and we trust and pray to him for that. But on the ground, to be real, we deal with that one quite a lot when you're just having a conversation with people and you peel back the layers and you find that there's this father wound. So as I say, supportive social networks such as the church can promote healing for people who have a father wound. So we're asking churches to stand up. We're asking NGOs, grab hold of us. Let's start the conversation. There's these films that are going to be airing on SABC TV from the 17th of September. Let's get watching. Let's start the conversation and let's start putting stuff on the table and see how we can deal with these issues that we are facing in our society today.
Garth, thank you so much for your time this evening. We really appreciate it. And it is so exciting what's coming up, the film series from Heartlines that's starting to air on SABC 2 from 17 September. It will be aired at 8:30 in the evening. And we're excited to see the discussion and the movement in the church that will come from that as well. So thank you so much for your time, and thank you for walking us through these eight key themes of the Fathers Matter program.